A Win for Christmas by P.K. Roche, read by CookieMom6067. Jim wanders the hall of the Enterprise, not quite lost, but also feeling incredibly out of place. Her crew walks with purpose around him, nodding with smiles as they pass. It's their fifth full day being docked at Space Station M88 for refueling and restocking and repairs. The skirmish they were dragged into in Sector 183 crippled them more than was immediately apparent. It was with Chief Mbenga's urging that Jim put in for additional leave for the crew. Given that the Terran winter holidays and about 13 other Federation planets and colonies that were represented on the ship overlapped in a two-week span this year, it felt right to allow the crew some downtime. Of course, Commander Chin Riley disagreed, and Lieutenant Noonien Singh along with her. But luckily, Captain Pike fully briefed Jim on his exo and security chief before he fully took over the center seat. Jim was ready and parried their concern with a practiced ease that hopefully didn't betray the absolute dread he felt rising from the pit of his stomach as he sought Una, set her jaw, and dig in. Of course, it was also during a meeting with the section heads. And of course, the room went quiet. And of course, everyone looked at Jim to see what he would do, how he would react. All in all, upon reflection, Jim thinks he did rather well. He held his ground, stated his reasons for why it would be to the benefit of the majority of the crew and to the teams in charge of repairs, speaking calmly but not overly professionally to the group while maintaining control of the room. He said his piece and held her eyes, refusing to fill a silence even as it grew to uncomfortable heights, crawling under his skin and clogging his throat. And in a moment, the spell was broken, with the commander breaking into an easy smile, as if the past 3.5 minutes hadn't just occurred. "Sounds good, Captain. I'll draw up a rotational schedule with the lieutenant," she nods towards Noonien Singh, "to make sure all necessary posts remain filled while we give the crew leave time." With that, the meeting was adjourned, and they all scattered to their respective areas of the ship. The past 2 days were busy for Jim. Lots of signing off on duty rosters and parties and requisition requests for the department and org heads, which included entirely too much replicated mistletoe, in Jim's estimation. Lots of time spent feeling like he's just on the fringes of everything that's going on, stuck inside this giant pulsing animal, being pushed and pulled every which way, yet never central to any of it, just a leaf on the wind in a forest of trees. That's just what happens when you're the new kid. Jim knows this, and yet he knows it's different now. There are expectations to live up to, both his own and Pike's, and those of every other single crew member and member of Starfleet. And if Jim thinks about it too much, he'll explode. So, manage your own expectations, Jim, he tells himself, and try to live up to the hype. Doesn't help that Sam's been spreading rumors about him since he was first stationed on the Enterprise, the little shit. And worse still, no one will believe any little lies Jim may try to spread about his older brother in turn. So he keeps quiet, deals with the quick glances his way, and eyes that don't meet his own, and the polite words as he passes crew members in the hallway, who then laugh to themselves once they're around the corner, always out of sight. But Jim has good hearing, and they never wait quite long enough to let their mirth show. Jim was on his way to the mess at the end of his shift. He made sure to stop by his quarters to remove his gold tunic before heading further down into the belly of the beast. It was important to him that the crew feel comfortable around him, and the mess hall was an informal place with no distinct separation of officers and enlisted personnel being upheld, even when Pike was in charge. It was the same on the Farragut, and Jim liked it that way. But even if the crew were starting to warm up to him, this being their fifth day of leave and all, Jim still didn't feel like he'd been accepted by them. He walked into the mess hall with a fake-feeling smile plastered on his face, cracked and worn at the edges from overuse. He presses on. The crew gathered at the door with plates of food in hand, mingling amongst themselves, greet him warmly enough. They ask after his plans for the evening and thank him for the party, the fifth such gathering in the mess in as many days. They're old phrases, old sentiments, but spoken in a genuine tone, and Jim responds in kind, asking after their families. Several of them had come to tour the ship over the week, and the recreation facilities available on the base. He hasn't left the ship to see them for himself, and shakes hands and gives his well wishes for the season as he waves off offers to stay and chat. He's here for dinner, after all. They let him leave without much fuss. He doesn't stop to chat with the others he passes by to get to the replicators, deciding to leave the home-cooked food that was made for the party to the partygoers. Tray filled sufficiently enough with food that Chapel won't be likely to yell at him again for not eating. Jim sits at a small table in the back corner, away from everyone else, and out of their direct line of sight, just for good measure. Pulling out a beat-up old paperback from his pocket to make his seclusion look even more purposeful, Jim settles into his dinner. He gets halfway through his fancy salad and a few bites into the side of sliced fruit he selected from the replicator when his shadow covers the table. "Captain, would you be amenable to company?" The large and imposing figure of Lieutenant Spock steals Jim's attention from his book. "Oh, yeah, of course, please." Jim gestures to the empty seat across the table and lets his book fall closed. Spock sits without hesitation and immediately begins eating. Jim cycles through comments he could make on his and Spock's nearly identical trays. "Vegetarians have to stick together, eh?" Or, "Best rabbit food in the galaxy is found on a starship." And a half a dozen others, which he surreptitiously considers and throws away, a blush creeping up his neck at the now gone too long and getting awkward silence. Spock, at least, doesn't seem to mind. So Jim tries not to beat himself up about it and let it go, though that doesn't stop him from looking at his plate or the book, left sitting on the table next to his tray, rather than at the man across the table from him. There's a loud peal of laughter that ripples through the mess, pulling Jim's gaze, and he feels all the more shitty for not engaging Spock in conversation. "You taking leave away from the Enterprise?" spills from his mouth, totally bypassing his brain, apparently. Spock looks up at him, head cocked a bit to the side, negative. Jim looks back at his plate, feeling like an ass. "My parents are traveling on a diplomatic tour, and I've recently separated from my betrothed. Therefore, there would be no one to receive me on Vulcan. My time is better spent here." Jim stares. He can't help it. His blush deepens and spreads, and he still stares. His voice cracks. I'm sorry to hear that about... He gestures awkwardly toward Spock. "About your betrothed, that is." Spock's eyebrow arches. "It was a mutual separation, and your apologies are unnecessary." "Right. Sorry." Jim's eyes return to the wilted salad on his plate. "Unnecessary, but appreciated." When he looks up again, Spock's focus is entirely on his own meal once more. "This should be awkward." Jim is embarrassed. "And this should be awkward." "It should be, but yet the silence is somehow warmer, comfortable, in a way that Jim's rarely felt on board the Enterprise thus far." The silence between them stretches on, right up to the point where they both finish eating, and Jim finds he doesn't want the spell to be broken. He thinks, perhaps foolishly, looking at the way that Spock is pushing around the last few bites of his own salad, that maybe he doesn't either. Jim's eyes roam the mess hall, frantically searching for something that will keep them both here, in this comfortable bubble of their own making. What next comes out of Jim's mouth is blurted apropos of nothing because he's a dumbass, and not the smooth-talking starship captain he manages to be on the bridge. "I beat your record for match wins at the Academy in my last year." Spock's eyes catch his, and without speaking, Jim can tell he clearly doesn't believe him. He has a remarkably expressive face, after all. "Honest, I graduated with a 62.6% average over roughly 550 games, which beats your record of, what was it? I think 62.3? Interesting. Jim lets some of the mischief that Sam knows all too well seep into his voice and around his eyes. I think we'd be well matched. Spock looks confused. Jim gestures haphazardly between them. At chess. Care to play a game? It takes no time at all, after Spock agrees to a match, for Jim to retrieve and set up the board. He begs off, taking white, as Spock's the one with the disadvantage. They're about 10 moves in when Jim realizes he spent more time staring at Spock's hands than actually paying attention to the game. He's already lost 6 pieces and taken none from his opponent. The game is already lost, but he manages to hold on for the next half hour or so. You appear distracted, Captain. Call me Jim, please. We're both off duty and recreating. No need to be so formal. Very well. Spock acquiesces easily. Jim, you appear distracted. Jim huffs a laugh. Just a lot going on with the holidays and arranging leave for everyone that wanted it, you know? He moves his rook down the board, a gamble. Haven't had a lot of time to relax and unwind since coming aboard. If I may say so, you have performed admirably as captain of the Enterprise. Caught off guard, Jim's eyes snap to Spock's. It is not easy being the new kid, as it were. Something everyone has experienced at one point in their lives or another, including myself. But I do hope, Jim, that you will come to enjoy your time here aboard the Enterprise. His eyes soften even impossibly further. Captain Pike has the utmost faith in you, as do the senior staff, even if they are reluctant to show it. Spock looks back at the board and makes his move, fingers resting on the piece as he considers it. Jim stares at his face. There's no way, no freaking way, it's the Vulcan science officer, top of his class at the Academy, who rejected admittance to the VSA to fuck off to Starfleet. No fucking way, it's this guy who's the one that's giving Jim the pep talk. No, this isn't reality, it's not happening. Spock looks up from the board and directly into Jim's eyes. It's like being dissected under a microscope by a very sexy scientist. Jim swallows hard and focuses back on the board again, moving a night without thinking. His entire strategy has been thrown out the window and swallowed up by a black hole. He's moving too fast and knocks over pieces as he's pulling back his hand. Spock's quick as lightning reflexes snatch them up before they can fall off the table, brushing Jim's hand in the process. The game is over in 3 more moves. Would you care for a rematch? Spock asks, smug look on his face at his win. Jim spins the board and starts to reset the pieces without answering verbally, brain already working through the strategy he wants to implement for this game. As soon as all the pieces are on their squares, Jim pushes a pawn forward, nonchalantly taking a look around the mess. The room has cleared out considerably already, with the main mealtime already past for shift as the party starts its inevitable wind down. Spock pushes a pawn forward in response, and Jim's eyes linger on that long-fingered hand once again. He jumps a knight over the line. Spock pushes another pawn forward. Jim answers in kind. Spock threads a bishop out to take Jim's pawn. And ooh, it's on now. Time passes quickly as they take their time deciding on moves. They truly are well matched, and it's been a hot minute since Jim's been challenged like this in chess. Spock doesn't play with the straight-laced Vulcan logic one would expect of him. A mistake Jim makes only twice, losing 2 more pieces in the process, before he picks up on the modified Vanderbalt strategy he's using as the main driver on his side of the board. Jim knows there's no great way to win against Vanderbalt once it's set up, and Spock's already at least 7 moves deep into it, so he aims to be as unpredictable as possible in response. And amazingly, it works. After a game that lasts just over 2 hours, Jim manages to eke out a win. Spock lays down his king with an eyebrow raised as he shakes his head. We do appear to be well matched, at least, when you are paying sufficient attention to the game itself. Ha ha, Jim mocks, which wins him an easy smile from the man across the table. The silence between them is easy once again. Would you care to play another? Jim glances over to the clock on the wall. It's gone 2100 already, and suddenly he's exhausted. No. Sorry, I should probably get some sleep. Another big day of filling out paperwork tomorrow, you know. Spock nods and stretches a bit in his chair, puffing his chest out as he twists to the side. Another time, then. Absolutely. Thanks for playing with me, too, you. He coughs a bit in his hand, uncomfortable. You made the night pass, in an enjoyable way. Spock nods again, smiling a bit, and begins to pack up their pieces. I agree, most enjoyable, though I would have preferred to win. Jim chuckles and stands, grabbing their discarded trays from the adjacent table to return them to the recyclers. He's emptying their half-full glasses into the liquid recycling when Jim remembers his book. It's a quick walk back to the table, where Spock is still standing, holding the beat-up paperback in his hand. When he hears Jim's approach, he turns and hands it out to him. Thanks, is Jim's easy response, and he turns again to lead the way out of the mess and to the halls of that animal of a ship and her crew, which feels just a tad less lonely. He only makes it half a step before he's stopped by a large warm hand on his forearm. Spock doesn't do this, though, doesn't just grab people he hardly knows in the middle of the mess hall. And yet, Jim's captured arm shows evidence to the contrary. Jim doesn't move. Too stunned and unsure and awkward and, oh God, he can feel that blush returning again for fuck's sake. Spock's eyes, dark orbs of deep brown, almost black in the low light of the mess hall, dance with mirth as a small, secret and wicked smile creeps over his lips. He shuffles closer, the steady hand on Jim's arm ensuring he can't scoot back to keep the distance between them. Jim's breath hitches in his chest, stuck somewhere around his heart, clogged in his throat as Spock steps closer again. Jim can feel his breath on his face and struggles to decide which dark eye to focus on, his own dancing between Spock's at an unsteady rhythm. Finally, Spock looks away, glancing up. Mistletoe rumbles out of his chest, cascading over and through every cell of Jim's body. Mistletoe. Jim isn't prepared for when Spock's eyes return to his own. Can't think of what his face looks like staring into that of the man in front of him. Isn't capable of speech other than a breathy, oh, which barely warrants the word. Too stunned by the growing heat of Spock's large and impressive body, a heat that's mirrored and increasing in Jim's own. Spock steps forward again, and his hands are moving, pulling Jim in by his hip, by his neck. And they're pressed up against each other from sternum to thigh, and Spock's kissing the very life out of Jim. There's a soft plop as Jim lets his book fall forgotten to the ground, reaching both hands up to cup that beautifully angled face and strong jaw, bracketing the cartilage of pointed ears as he presses his chest and hips even further into Spock's own, encouraged by the strong planes of that body warm against him. They've been kissing for hours. For years, by the time Spock finally begins to pull back, Jim reluctantly lets him go. And then it's back to reality. Back to the mess hall. And the air that still carries the memory of the party that's wound down. Spock's hand on Jim's waist dips lower and he palms his ass as he lets his hand drop entirely. Jim tries to mask how hard he's breathing. Tries to get his torturous heart rate under control once more. Spock steps away fully, and Jim lets his hands fall to his sides and watches as Spock bends to retrieve Jim's forgotten paperback off the floor. Words are still beyond him, but he takes the book, accidentally brushing Spock's wrist in the process. He smiles and takes his leave with a, "Until next time, Captain," and a nod to his head. Jim still doesn't have control of his voice to respond, and so Spock leaves, sauntering off in the near dark of the mess hall, his own voluminous ass on display for Jim's appreciation. And he does appreciate it. Spock's got a great ass, the bastard. It takes Jim another minute from when the man just thoroughly snogged the shit out of him disappears through the mess hall doors for him to fully return to his body in this time and place in the universe. He glances up at the ceiling and the innocuous cluster of poison, one of dozens throughout the ship, and chuckles a bit to himself. Then he looks back at his hands and the makeup that's smeared on his thumb, makeup that was on Spock's face. Unflappable, cool as a cucumber, untouchable Spock, who kissed Jim under the mistletoe in the mess hall and is likely walking around with a smeared sideburn right now. Jim huffs a giddy laugh to himself in the blissfully almost empty mess hall, and with a massive and dorky smile on his face, starts off for his quarters. The end.